It is Thursday, January 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, former White House aide Steve Bannon expresses support for President Donald Trump following the publication of a controversial new book. Vice President Mike Pence asserts U.S. support for Iranian protesters.
To see the people of Iran rising up to demand change in their country should hearten every freedom-loving American and people who cherish freedom around the world.
And African conservationists praise China's ivory ban. It's all ahead. Well, the talk of much of Washington and of the world concerns a new book titled Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. It's by author Michael Wolff, who says he obtained the content of the book by speaking to many Trump administration officials during the past 18 months, now especially former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon. I'm joined in the studio by White House correspondent Peter Heinlein. Well, Pete, the portrait that emerges of the Trump White House in this book, it's not flattering. And, you know, first of all, it indicates Mr. Trump really did not expect to win or really even particularly want to win the 2016 presidential election.
Well, why are we surprised that there's a portrait of the Trump White House that's not flattering? Almost every portrait that's been written has been not flattering. And furthermore, why in the world do you think they would want to have Michael Wolff, a more or less Hollywood tabloid type reporter, given free access to the White House to talk to all kinds of people about Donald Trump and his inner circle of people? You've got to expect, and they must have known, that this was going to happen. Now, what about the allegation that, he may have not wanted to win, that Donald Trump might not have really have wanted to win? I think he was as surprised as anybody. The polls, just hours before the polls closed, the opinion polls were showing maybe a 70% chance that Hillary Clinton would win. He was as surprised as the next guy. We were right here in this room, in this studio that night, and I remember we were all just stunned, and I'm sure Donald Trump must have been the same.
Mm. Well, there has been there's quite a bit of criticism of President Trump by Steve Bannon, who was once the White House chief strategist. And Bannon criticizes Donald Trump Jr., saying that a meeting he had with the Russians was, he calls it, treasonous and unpatriotic. He also is critical of Ivanka Trump, President Trump's daughter, saying she sort of is having her eye on a future run of her own for the White House. And Trump has not been too pleased by this.
No, Trump has not been too pleased by this. But if you notice, most of the criticism was of Trump's family and his inner circle, the Ivankas, the Kushners, the others. The book really didn't go after Trump himself that much. Now, on the other hand, Trump was furious, in the words of his spokeswoman Sarah Sanders, who called this trashy tabloid fiction, and confirmed that the president was really angry. But by the way, the president just a few moments ago called reporters in. It was unscheduled. He had a closed press event, but he called the press in at the last minute just so he could take a question about this book, and his answer was, and this is what he wanted to say. He said, "Hey, Bannon called me a great man last night. He changed his tune pretty quick." And then he said, "Oh, I don't talk to him." And Bannon was rather complimentary of the president last night in comments, I think, on Sirius Radio, on Breitbart Radio. There's a lot of peculiar things going on here. The relationship between Bannon and Trump has always been a very peculiar one.
Yes, because at one point they were close allies, seemingly, when Bannon was working at the White House.
Yes, he was a strategist, and for a time was a very important strategist. And after he left the White House, pushed out presumably by the Ivanka Trumps and the Jared Kushners, when John Kelly was appointed as chief of staff, he kept saying, "I'm going to work for Trump's agenda." And he has said that repeatedly, including last night, that he's a believer in Trump's agenda. But he and Trump and some of the establishment Republicans, and by the way, this helps Trump by painting him as more of an establishment Republican. Bannon is against them, and this is probably going to play very nicely into their 2018 president or midterm election campaign, because this is going to paint Trump supporting candidates as the moderates in the party.
Well, also, President Trump said that Bannon, I believe he said this yesterday, that Bannon has nothing to do with my presidency. And he also made the famous, you know, quote saying Bannon has lost his mind. I can't really think of recently of a president sort of questioning someone's mental stability, particularly somebody who had worked for them.
No, but I think if you've been watching cable news lately, you see a lot of pundits questioning President Trump's mental stability. So this gives him the opportunity to throw the shoe on the other foot. It reminds me in a way of World Wrestling Federation, the fake guys who are throwing people on the mat and people are cheering, "Oh yeah, let's go get him." But it's all phony. It's all made up. And don't forget, the head of World Wrestling Federation, Linda McMahon, is a member of Trump's cabinet.
True. All right. Well, thanks very much. That's White House correspondent Peter Heinlein. Well, also joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Wait, wrestling is fake? There are three things trending very quickly on the net. Obviously, this book is generating lots of controversy, lots of discussion. People who are siding with the president, people who are siding with Michael Wolff, people who are siding with Steve Bannon. I decided to kind of put that aside for a moment. There's also a second area. There's a lot of people, mostly tech types, talking about this terrible bug, I suppose, that's been found in probably just about every microchip that's been manufactured by Intel, by AMD, by ARD. It goes variously by the name of either Meltdown or Spectre. It makes it very likely that just about every computer or computing device now has this vulnerability. So people are really scrambling to try and fix that. I thought we would just take maybe a bit of a different take today, just for the heck of it. One of the things that's trending out there, people may have heard that there is a polar vortex coming down into the eastern United States. First, we're dealing right now with a bomb cyclone that's out in the Atlantic, and a polar vortex. It's going to get into the minus 30s, maybe minus 40s in some places. So trending right now on Twitter is the hashtag It's So Cold. So I thought I'd share just a couple of It's So Cold. I saw a dude walking his dog from the car. It's So Cold. My elf set fire to the shelf. Let's see. It's so cold that I don't care if my dog uses the bathroom all over the house. It's freezing. It's so cold. The snowman in the front yard knocked on the door and asked if he could come sleep on the sofa. So they just kind of keep going. And there's lots of people, I think, you know, as always, just kind of it's so cold. Starbucks is serving coffee on a stick. I like that one. So anyway, those are some of the things that are trending out there. And I think this one will probably go away in a couple days. But we certainly will be hearing about the controversies about this book and about sort of continued explorations into the White House. I think that's going to be a continuing theme through the year.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories trending. A suicide blast has taken place in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. The U.S. and South Korea delay military drills until after the Winter Olympics. The Dow breaks 25,000 barrier for the first time, and the White House is barring personal cell phones from the West Wing. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Ancient legend has it that somewhere in this world, there is a magic fountain of youth whose waters contain restorative powers that make old people young again. Now, a new study from the University of Arizona says, sorry folks, it's just not out there. Joanna Maisel, a professor at the university, and one of the two study authors says aging is unavoidable. researchers found getting old is logically, theoretically, and mathematically inevitable. Maisel says current understanding of evolution does leave open a small chance that aging could be stopped. But to do so, she says science will need to come up with a way to make selection between organisms perfect. And at this time, that's something that just isn't that simple to do. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, China bans its domestic ivory trade. Anti-government protests appear to wane Thursday in Iran, with government leaders now faced with trying to improve economic conditions that spawned a week of demonstrations that claimed 21 lives. The head of the army, General Abdulrahim Mousavin, thanked security forces for putting out the fire of sedition. Meanwhile, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence vowed the United States will stand with Iranian anti-government protesters for the long haul, and he said President Donald Trump stands ready to back the uprising with more than just words. State Department officials have told VOA the administration is considering economic sanctions or other actions against people or organizations that commit violence against peaceful protesters. VOA contributor Greta Van Susteren sat down with Pence on Wednesday and asked what, if anything, the U.S. plans to do other than offer its support to protesters in Iran.
Well, it's important to remember first and foremost that Iran is the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world. I mean, not only do they oppress their own people, deny human rights to their own, but they also export terrorism across the region and continue to be an enormously dangerous, destabilizing force. And so to see the people of Iran rising up to demand change in their country should hearten every freedom-loving American and people who cherish freedom around the world. And I have to tell you that the contrast today between the deafening silence from an American president in 2009 during the Green Revolution in Iran,
He waited a few days, but then he spoke out.
The clear affirmation and support that President Trump has provided to protesters rising up in cities across Iran is dramatic, and I think it's very consistent with America's role in the world as a leading champion of freedom.
In terms of support, though, there's verbal support, and there was, admittedly, that President Obama was a few days late back in 2009.
Well, it wasn't just a few days late, because I was there. Okay. I was a member of the Congress. You'll recall I served on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. And I remember back in 2009 seeing this largely youth-driven movement following a fraudulent election in Iran. People taking to the streets, demonstrating incredible courage that the people of Iran did to claim a democratic and free future. And we looked to the White House in those days in 2009. We looked for American leadership, and there was none. There was deafening silence from the Obama administration. So as a member of Congress, I authored a resolution with a Democrat congressman by the name of Howard Berman, who was at the time chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. We introduced the resolution. It passed almost unanimously in the House of Representatives. Then Senator McCain and Senator Lieberman introduced it in the Senate, where it passed unanimously. And then and only then did we hear from President Obama and the Obama administration. The contrast between the silence and the failure to support freedom in the last administration and President Trump's unapologetic willingness to stand with the courageous people of Iran, I know it is giving hope to the people on the streets of those cities across that country, and we're going to continue to support them in not just verbally, but as they bring about change in their country. I can assure you the United States and the wider world stands with the people of Iran who want a better, more prosperous, and freer future.
Vice President Mike Pence. Pence called the American people a natural ally of Iran and said he sees a parallel between Trump's words of support for Iranian protesters and President Ronald Reagan's encouragement of Soviet dissidents in the 1980s. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. China's ban on the domestic ivory trade has come into effect after being announced at the end of 2016. Some African conservationists are calling it the best news for elephants in years, but there is concern that the market will shift to nearby countries. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
The legal sale of ivory will no longer be able to occur in mainland China, a move heralded by conservationists, who say that the legal trade has been providing cover for its illegal counterpart, perpetuating the belief that it is okay to buy and own ivory. Max Graham, CEO of the elephant conservation group Space for Giants, welcomes the news.
I think the fact that we've seen China take this stand means that there's a new conservation superpower in the world that is taking its responsibility seriously. And, you know, we're hugely enthusiastic about this because, obviously, it's ivory. The ivory trade is a huge challenge. But the illegal wildlife trade, more generally, has many challenges in Asia, particularly China, where traditional uses of wildlife parts have been fueling the massive loss of species, of rare species around the world. So to see China take this stand is very encouraging. It's the best Christmas present that the conservation community could actually have.
China announced the ban at the end of 2016 and put it into effect at the end of 2017, surprising those who thought it might take up to 5 years. Conservationists are optimistic, although they say it is too early to predict how it will be enforced. Save the Elephant's CEO, Frank Pope, believes the ban could prove transformational for the fortunes of elephants, but gives one caveat.
As you squeeze the balloon of the Chinese trade, you're going to see secondary markets popping up around the borders. And that's what we're already seeing in Vietnam, in Laos, in Myanmar, and even in Hong Kong, which functions as an external to China. All of these places have markets that have boomed with the restrictions, the looming restrictions in China.
Like his conservation colleagues, Philip Maruthi, Vice President of Species Conservation at the African Wildlife Foundation, also praises the ban and notes the importance of preventing the market from shifting to other locations. And, he says, elephants will not be the only beneficiaries.
You know, about 35,000 elephants, the number you've had quoted many times, are lost each year. There is about 415,000 elephants on this continent. That means that within 20 years, if the pace is kept of that loss, we will not have elephants. And therefore, all the aspirations that African people have for using wildlife and associated habitats for development, tourism in countries like Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, and all that, those aspirations will not be met. So this is big. It is not just about elephants. It's also about the economy. It's about African people's well-being. So it's about our heritage. So China, this is a significant step that China has taken.
Conservationists say that although combating poaching is critical, one of the bigger threats to elephants in the long term is habitat management. They urge African governments and China, through its support, to help reduce these threats. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Well, in other news, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions will rescind former President Barack Obama's policy that relaxed enforcement of federal marijuana laws in states where it's legal. That's according to people who are familiar with the decision, and they said that on Thursday. Sessions will allow federal prosecutors in those states to determine how aggressively to enforce the laws. Thursday's expected announcement would come 3 days after retail cannabis stores in California opened for business for the first time, launching what advocates say will eventually be the world's largest market for legal recreational marijuana. The legalization of marijuana for recreational use in California, seven other states, and the District of Columbia may escalate tensions between state and federal drug enforcement officials led by Sessions, who's a staunch opponent of legalization. Sessions has compared marijuana to heroin and has blamed it for sharp increases in violence. The Justice Department considers marijuana a Schedule I drug, the same category as heroin, LSD, and cocaine. Independent senator and former Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders responded to Sessions' decision on Twitter, contending that marijuana has been miscategorized. The use of marijuana for medicinal use is legal in 29 states and the District of Columbia. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said Thursday Sessions' decision could deny patient access to using the substance for medical treatment and disproportionately subject minorities to prosecution. Well, that is our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the government of Maldives inaugurated a $3.8 million integrated water supply and distribution system recently, providing a safe and reliable water source for more than 4,000 residents of Hinuvaru Island. The system collects water from rainwater harvesting tanks, mixes it with desalinated water, and distributes it through a piped network to households on the island. The system includes an 80 cubic meter per day capacity reverse osmosis unit housed in a facility partially powered by solar energy and complemented by a groundwater filtration system that collects excess rainwater and distributes it to the island's aquifer, supporting the recharging of the island's groundwater over time. To serve the water quality testing needs of Hinuvaru and nearby islands, the facility is also equipped with a regional water quality testing laboratory. Additionally, the facility includes space for utility staff daily operations. The USAID-funded system was designed and constructed by the United Nations Office for Project Services in partnership with the Ministry of Environment and Energy, Fanaca Corporation Limited, and the Hinuvaru Island Council. USAID also provided technical assistance and training for water utility officials to operate and maintain the system, currently operated by Fanaca Corporation Limited. Around the world, USAID and its partners are working towards a healthier and water-secure future for all, said Dr. Andrew Sisson, USAID Mission Director for Sri Lanka and Maldives. Therefore, we are proud to have supported a successful partnership with the government and people of Maldives to ensure safe and high-quality drinking water on one of Maldives' most populous islands through an integrated water supply and distribution system.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.